God's going to put Elijah's faith to work. And all of a sudden now, God's going to ask something of Elijah that is going to really take everything that God's been doing in Elijah to teach him how to walk by faith, is really going to take it to the, if you will, to a next level. And now all of a sudden we're going to find out what kind of faith Elijah truly has nurtured through what God has done. And as we've studied chapter 17, isn't God done some amazing things? I mean, he's fed Elijah by a brook during famine. He's fed Elijah by a raven who eats meat. And he's fed Elijah through a poor widow that thought she was eating her last meal and dying. And he's done a work of raising the widow's son from the dead. I mean, God's done amazing things to show Elijah that he can be trusted and he can be depended upon. So with that being said, let's look at chapter number 18. Now, don't pass out on me, but we're going to try to cover about 16 verses tonight. And I want you to look at this with me. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and with water. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your word. Father, I just pray you would articulate these truths in a way in which would have an impact on our lives. Father, you'd make them real, you'd make them practical, you'd make them applicable. I pray that, Father, you would be our wisdom today. Father, as we study your word, and Father, to you be the glory for what you bring out of it, in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Now, let's look at verse number 1 real quick. I want us to look first at what I call the command of faith, the command of faith. God now comes to Elisha after many days. Now, how many is many days? Well, remember, there's been a famine for 3.5 years. Now, we know that Elijah spent approximately about a year at the brook of Cherith, and we know he spent approximately 2 years in Zarephath with the widow. And God supernaturally, miraculously continued to manifest the meal and the oil so that they would continue to be fed during that 2 year period of time. And Elijah's been resting in the miraculous work of God day by day as God continued to manifest that food in that widow's house. And now God comes to Elijah again, gives him a command. Again, a command that's going to demand faith. And here's the command. I want you to go and show yourself unto Ahab. Now, there's several things here I want you to see in this command. The first thing is the precept. What do you mean? Well, this command came with a direct precept. Go and show yourself. Now, isn't that amazing that what Elijah's been told before is go and hide yourself. And now all of a sudden, God's telling Elijah, go and show yourself. And now God's given Elijah a precept in which he's now to leave Zarephath, he's leave the widow's home, and he's now to go and show himself unto Ahab. Now this was going to take faith in two dimensions. Number one, it took faith for Elijah to stay there in the widow's home for 2 years. And listen to me. He had to trust God every day for provision. He had to trust God that what God said he would do every single day. And Elijah, from what we can read of him, was probably a man of action and not a man of passivity. And so to stay in one place for 2 years, I want to tell you, that took faith. Can I tell you, many times it takes more faith to do nothing than it does to do something. Because many times when we have to sit back and wait upon God, that tries your faith more than if you had a clear direction of what God would have you to do. And so Elijah's just having to wait upon God. And Elijah exercised his faith in doing that. But now God's come to him and said, go, leave this comfort. of the widow's home, the comfort of my miraculous provision, the comfort of all that I've given you for 2 years. He says, now leave and go. Can I tell you, that's going to take faith as well. Because now Elijah's going to go out into this land that is absolutely ravished by famine. And now he's going to have to leave the miraculous provision of God and what he was doing in the widow's home. And now he's going to have to go out into a land where there's no to little food at all to be found. And he's going to have to trust God to go in this circumstance. Now, and if that wasn't enough, how many of you agree it would take faith to go to where God told him to go? God told him to go show yourself to Ahab. Why is that significant? Ahab's trying to find him and kill him. God's saying, now, I want you to go and show yourself to him. Now, how many of you agree? God's had to really prepare Elijah for this. And because of what God's done in preparation in Elijah's life, teaching him how to walk by faith, now when Elijah gets this command, now he is ready to obey God and trust God. Why? Because he has spiritual markers that's proved who God is. And I want you to listen. I can't emphasize this enough. Many times God will allow you and I to go through difficult times and trying times, not just to help us to grow here and now. That is always what he wants to do. But sometimes he'll let us go through that because he knows that coming down the road later is going to be a step of faith that is going to be beyond anything you've ever understood or comprehended. And now you have a spiritual marker where God, in absolute miraculous way, came through or got you through. And you can go back and say, God, you're the same then as you are today, and whatever you asked me to do today, I know you can do it because you've already proved yourself to me. Now, God shouldn't have to prove himself, but aren't you glad he loves us enough to? And so here is where Elijah's at. And Elijah gets this precept to go. Now, I want you to see, secondly, he gets a promise along with this precept. Notice what he says. Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So there's the promise. So in other words, God's given Elijah a command, a precept to go. But he's saying, listen, Elijah, I want you to understand, you're just not going in your own energy and in your own flesh. You're not going in your own power. I'm sending you with a divine promise, a good news that I'm going to let it rain. And so now Elijah has a precept to go, but he has a promise. Now, how many of you agree? If Elijah just showed up with Ahab and began to talk to him about judgment again, Elijah probably wouldn't walk away from that meeting. But now God sent him with a great message of promise that God is now going to send rain. And now Elijah has this promise equipped with his precept. Now, here's the thing. Whenever God gives you a command, he will always equip you with a promise. God will never, ever command us to do anything that he doesn't enshrine it in a promise concerning his sufficiency. Let me give you some examples throughout Scripture. I could give you many, many examples. But let me just give you a few real quick to just remind you of how God works. Genesis chapter 12. God tells Abraham, or Abram at that time, before his name was changed, to go out into another country. Notice what it says. Now the Lord said unto Abram, go, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. How would you like that? God says, just leave everything that's dear to you, and I'm not going to tell you where I'm sending you, but you just walk by day, and I'll tell you as you go. How would you like to sign up for that one? And this is what God says to Abram. But notice God also equips him with a promise. He said, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And if you read the next verse that I didn't really put on there, it says, and those that curse you, I will curse, and those that bless you, I will bless. And God equipped Abram with an amazing promise to go with a command that was going to demand Abraham's complete surrender and faith. Let me show you another example. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. Now, remember what's on the other side of the Jordan, Jericho. He says, arise, go over this Jordan, by the way, that's overflooding its banks. And he says to him, and thou and all this people unto the land which I do give thee, even to the children of Israel, there's the command. But aren't you glad God didn't leave it there? Aren't you glad God gave him a promise to go with it? Notice what God said. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Isn't it good to know that when Joshua went across that Jordan River, he was going already victorious? He was already in the victory, and all he had to do was walk in the reality of what he had. That was the promise. Well, wouldn't it be great to know that every battle you walk into, you've already won? Well, can I help you a little bit? You have. See, we don't look at it that way. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what kind of battle I'm in. I don't care what kind of battle you're in. If you're a child of the King, God's already made provision for it. He is sufficient. You say, well, preacher, that's all Old Testament. That's all Old Testament. That's all to Israel. What about to us? Well, let me give you a simple one real quick. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Y'all know it well. Go ye therefore what? Say it. Go ye therefore what? And what? What's that called? Is that a command? Amen. Can I tell you how this reads in the Greek? As you go. In other words, moment by moment, day by day, as you live your daily life, you're to be a witness. There's the command. Well, where's the promise? Well, watch what he says. He said, I'm not sending you by yourself. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And listen, we know that he's Baptist. He says, amen. I'm kidding about the Baptist part. But what I'm saying to you is here. You and I have been given an awesome privilege, an awesome command that we are to be a light to the world. But God said, listen, I know you can't be that in and of yourself. And so I'm going to enshrine this command with a divine promise, and I'm going to obligate myself to fulfill in you what I command you to do. And so God's always, always given us a promise to go with the command. Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy. How many agree that's a command? So how can that happen? Well, can I tell you? The only one that can be holy is the one that has the Holy One, Jesus the Christ. See, it's all accomplished by Him. Everything about my life and your life as a child of God is always relocated upon Him. Listen to me. I'm going to make a statement to you. Now, y'all not going to throw anything at me. Y'all say amen. Every command God makes to you and I is not a command to you and I. Every command God makes to you and I is a command to the Christ in you and I, because only the Christ in you and I can accomplish it. But you say, well, preacher, I've got to give my hands, I've got to give my feet, I've got to give my mouth, I've got to give my... You're right. You've got to yield and surrender by faith to what He says. But listen, if it's going to be done, it's going to be done by Him. And so this is what God has done for Elijah. He says, go show yourself to Ahab. He said, oh, by the way, I got a promise to go with you. Well, I want you to see thirdly the problem. A problem. What's the problem? He's going to Ahab. How many agree that's a problem? We know, I'll show you later on in this passage, that Obadiah will tell Elijah that Ahab's went over all the country trying to find him to slay. And now we have a problem. And now Elijah has to go and show himself to the one man on earth that is absolutely enshrined in anger and bitterness and wrath and murderous intention. And God says, go show yourself to him. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe in a God like that. Well, I want to tell you, God will do this many times in our life. God is always going to try to push us and show us and lead us into paths that, folks, listen, if God doesn't come through, you're not going to make it. Why? Because God wants us to learn dependence. Continual dependence upon him. How many times have you had God allow you to go through something? And just to be honest, if God wouldn't have come through, you don't know how you'd have made it. Many times, right? What does that tell you about God? Is he sufficient? Absolutely. Now, sometimes when we're in the midst of those things, it's easy for us to forget that. It is for me. But can I tell you, even in that, what does God do? In his mercy and grace, he still works on our behalf. And then we look back, when it's all said and done, we look back and, well, wow, what a God. What a God. And isn't it good that you can't take credit for it? So Elijah has a command of faith. Well, I want you to look at the second thing with me real quick. The compliance of faith. The compliance of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but probably, if I was guessing, if God gave you and I a command like this, we would probably get out our spiritual checklist. Now you say, what do you mean your spiritual checklist? Well, the positives and negatives. And we would try to determine if this was really, am I really hearing from God? How many of y'all agree with that? Say amen. But watch this. And I want you to catch this. Because here's Elijah, a prophet, without the indwelling spirit. Now, was the Spirit of God active upon Elijah and anointing? Yes. But he did not have the indwelling spirit. And watch what Elijah does. Well, the Bible says, and Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. God gave the command, Elijah gave the compliance. Whatever God said, Elijah said, okay. And can I tell you, when God can get us to that place where whatever he says, no matter how difficult or no matter how mind-boggling it is to us, that we can just say, God, I don't understand this. I don't know how this is going to happen. I mean, God, listen, I don't have a clue how this is going to work. But yes. Yes. This is where Elijah's at. God's had to train him. God's had to teach him. But Elijah is now at this place. And can I tell you, all God needs, now I want you to listen to me, is not your talents and not my talents, even though God will use our talents. Y'all with me? But all God needs is availability. If he finds a willing vessel, I promise you, he'll equip us in whatever he needs to equip us in. And that's all God asks. That's all God demands. Is a willing vessel. So we see the compliance. Now, I want you to see number three, and this covers a few verses, the consequences of the famine. Because now, here is the backdrop to all of this, okay? The Bible says in verse 2, and there was a sore famine in the land, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was a governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of the water, and unto all the brooks. Preadventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we may lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout. Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. And so here's the consequences of the famine. What do you mean by the consequences? Well, here's the deal. You remember the famine was the chastisement of God upon Israel. Why? Because of their idolatry, Baal worship. And this is the reason that God sent Elijah to proclaim that the famine was coming to start with. So all this is under the judgment of God. Now, watch what the judgment of God has done. It's caused a royal, prideful, proud king to be humbled to the place that he would be willing to leave his throne to go look for grass and water. How many agree God's able to break a person? Now, here's the thing. Just because God brings a person to this place doesn't mean they're going to receive it. And can I tell you, Ahab didn't receive it. Now, there's another individual here, Obadiah. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's great debate about Obadiah. In other words, it says that he greatly feared the Lord. So I have to, there's some commentators will say that Obadiah was a man that was walking unfaithful, and some will say he was walking absolutely faithful, and others will say, well, he was walking by faith in fear of the Lord in moments, but yet at the same time, he had moments of unbelief. You say, preacher, where you're at? I'm in the middle of the two. Because we're going to see the unbelief of Obadiah in just a few minutes. But yet Obadiah was a man that feared God enough that when Jezebel sought to remove all the prophets of God, Obadiah went and hid many of them in a cave at the risk of his own life. I want to tell you, you wouldn't do that unless you feared the Lord. So I believe there's many spiritual benefits about Obadiah. But this humbling work of God caused Ahab to begin to search for food. For what? Not the people. The horses and the mules. Why? Listen to me. He was not concerned about the people he was king over. Concerned about his own kingdom. And a king without horses is a king without an army. And a king without an army is a king with no authority. And a king with no authority is a king that has no kingdom. So I promise you, Ahab was after himself. It was all about himself. He was, if you will, in a state of self-preservation. In other words, he was in a place that I've got to do whatever I can to save my kingdom. But do you find something strange here? When Elijah announced about this famine, Elijah told Ahab the reason. Do you not find it strange here that when Ahab told Obadiah to help him to do this, that there's not one mention of God, there's not one mention of sin, there's not one mention of repentance, and there's not one mention of God's judgment? What does that tell us? It tells us that even though God has pulled the rug out from under Ahab, his heart's still hardened to his sin and to who God is. Now, I want you to listen to me, folks. God can put people in places where they have nowhere to look but up. But God's not going to force their head up. Can I tell you, many times in Scripture we find this to be true. Let me just give you a few examples of where this is true other places. Jeremiah chapter 5, God brings chastisement upon Israel. And listen to what Jeremiah says about it. He said, O Lord, art not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, being Israel, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Boy, isn't that a sad state? Listen to me, folks. The one thing that identifies a child of God more than anything else is first the desire for the things of God. Y'all have heard me say that many times, but I want to tell you the second thing. Is a desire to always be open to God showing us our lives. Always being open to God showing us our lives. And this is what Ahab did not have. Revelation chapter 16, we're going to see this again in the last days. After the rapture of the church during the tribulation, when God would pour out his judgments on the earth. And one of those judgments would be the vials. And the Bible says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And notice what it says, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. And in the midst of knowing that, listen, in the midst of knowing that it was God, what'd they do? They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. Isn't that amazing? And this is where Ahab is. And by the way, I said all that to remind you, this is who God told Elijah to go show himself to. Are y'all starting to see the measure of faith it's going to take now? This is what God's command was to Elijah. I don't know about you. Are y'all willing to sign up for that one? All right, but watch this. When all this is taking place, God's behind the scenes working. Because notice what happened. Do you think it was accident that Ahab told Obadiah to split the land with him? Can I tell you, God was in all this. How do you know? Because watch what happens. Look at verse 7, and you're going to see the control of the Father. In all of this, God was completely and divinely in control. Why do you say that? Look at verse 7. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, "Art thou my Lord Elijah?" Now, why is this important? Well, which would be better, Ahab to encounter Elijah before Elijah had a chance to tell him the promise, or Obadiah to encounter Elijah, to bring Elijah to Ahab, telling him that he has a promise? Which you think is better? You say, "Preacher, I don't understand. How's this practical to me?" Well, do you see that whatever God told Elijah to do, God was behind the scenes working, even in a heathen king Ahab, working out the details that it would happen exactly the way God deemed it to happen. Why? For Elijah's protection and for God's will to be done and for Elijah to accomplish what God commanded him to do. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, if God gave you a word about something, you can trust God that he'll move heaven and earth if it takes that to accomplish what he told you he'd do. You don't have to doubt God in that. And so, all this, God's in control at every facet, at every turn, at every moment, God's in control. But can I tell you, even when God's in control, that doesn't mean we're not going to have conflict. How many of you agree that sometimes, even in God in control, there can be conflict that takes place? Well, can I tell you, the same thing happened to Elijah here. So let's look at this next thing here, the conflict of fear. The conflict of fear. Because here's Obadiah, a man that fears God, who's hid the prophets at the risk of his own life. But now all of a sudden, Obadiah is going to begin to have a little bit of unbelief. Because why? Fear sets in. Now, I want you to hear this with me, okay? Fear will always lead to unbelief. And fear will always lead you to concentrate on self instead of God. How many agree? The Bible says what? Cast out fear. Love cast out fear. How many agree that without faith you're going to walk in fear? Y'all with me? And so now Obadiah is going to get fearful. Watch what takes place. The Bible says in verse 8, and he answered, "I am, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." Now, remember, God told Elijah to go show yourself. Now, all of a sudden, God's brought Obadiah into the picture. And now, not only is Elijah going to have to walk by faith, but now Obadiah is going to have to walk by faith. I want you to see a few things here. the self-righteousness of Obadiah. And all this is because of his fear. Notice what he says. Oh, how did Obadiah respond? And he said, "What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me?" What did he mean by that? Well, he's going to give us a commentary on it in a minute. But here's what he means. He said, if I tell Ahab you're here, and I tell him, and he comes, and you're not here, guess what? He's going to get a pound of flesh out of somebody. That's what he's saying. But where do you get self-righteousness from here? Because this wording that he used, "What have I sinned?" is a wording that simply means Obadiah said, I've not done anything in sin that would cause God to make this demand on me. Listen to me. There's no amount of deeds we could ever do that would ever cause us to be worthy of anything else. You cannot earn your worth. It's given by grace. So many times I hear people teach how if we do these things, then we earn this from God. I want you to listen to me. Christ Jesus is the sufficiency and the provision of God. There is nothing else, and you need nothing else. And Obadiah now in fear gets self-righteous. But listen, this self-righteousness now takes a step into self-preservation. Watch what Obadiah says. As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and the nation that they find thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. So when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Did y'all catch what he said? He wasn't worried about what Elijah would do. Did y'all catch it? He said, the Spirit of the Lord will cause you to leave. See, Obadiah was not questioning Elijah's character. Obadiah was questioning God's character. You say, why would we ever question God's character? Because when you walk in fear, or you walk in despair, it's easy to get your eyes on self and get your eyes off of God. And then you get into a realm of self-preservation. What must I do to take care of myself? Instead of God, I'm just going to trust you to take care of me. Here is where Obadiah is. Here's where Obadiah is. By the way, the good news comes in a minute. Amen? But notice the third thing, the self-confidence of Obadiah. Then Obadiah just starts pouring it on. I mean, listen, he's trying to get out of this every way he can. And watch what Obadiah does. Verse 11, and now thou sayest, go tell my Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Verse 12, if it come to pass, the Spirit of the Lord will move you. Verse 13, was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now sayest thou, go tell my Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. Let me put that to you in modern-day language, can I? Elijah, have you not heard who I am and what I've done? I mean, I've built up a bunch of credits with God. God wouldn't tell me to do this. You don't understand what I've done for him. You ever got in a situation? And the situation come in the midst of a moment when you really felt that you were walking as close with the Lord as you've walked in a long time. And one of the first things that comes to your mind is, Lord, I don't understand. I've been praying. I've been studying. I've been fellowshipping with you. It's been so sweet. Why are you letting this happen now? Are y'all getting this? This is where Obadiah is. And now Obadiah, in his self-confidence, in this pride of what he has done, He's trying to get out of what God's asking him to do. I've seen this many times in churches where people will get of a certain place in the church. Maybe they've been part of the church for years and years and years and years, and they'll get to a certain place in the church and they'll say, well, I've done it for years. It's time for everybody else to do it. Can I help you today? I don't care if you're 10 or 110. If God's letting you breathe, he's got a purpose in which he wants to do through you. God never puts anybody on the shelf. It's like I had a preacher one time tell me, he said, I'm retiring from preaching. I said, you can't. You can retire from pastoring, but you can't retire from preaching. Because the last time I checked, when God calls somebody to preach, it's not just for a time and a season. Amen? Listen, if I've got breath to breathe and a mind to think with, I'm going to preach his word. Why? Because that's what he's called me to do. What he's called me to do. It's the reason I praise the Lord for Owen so much. Can I tell you? Owen retired from pastoring, but can I tell you, he's preaching as much now as he did when he was pastoring, just about. And that's a good thing. It's what God's called him to do. Last thing, the comfort of faith. Aren't you glad that even in our moments of unbelief and weakness, God now gives you a promise. Now, listen to me. Remember what I said. Every time God gives a command, he gives a what? Promise. Well, how many agree? Obadiah has a command. Go tell your boss. Go tell your king that Elijah's here. Obadiah says, I'm not doing that. Elijah said, well, you don't understand, Obadiah. I got a promise to go with it. Watch what he said. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. And Obadiah went and met and to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. So what was the promise to Obadiah? You don't have to worry about your concerns. I'll do exactly what I said I would do. Why? Because it's what God told me to do. And so all Elijah was doing was going back on the promise God gave him. And now he lays that promise upon Obadiah. And now Obadiah, now with a command and a promise, Elijah with a command and a promise, now Obadiah learns from Elijah, and Obadiah obeys just like Elijah obeyed. And you know what takes place? Through these two men's obedience, the prophets of Baal are exposed at Mount Carmel. Because two men, even though one of them struggled with it, two men decided to obey God. What do you think God would do if we all obeyed him? What do you think God would do? I don't know how many is in here. What, 55, 60 in here tonight? If all 55 or 60 of us in here tonight, if every one of us were absolutely available to God, and when God spoke, we said yes, what would happen? Revival. Awakening. And you know all God's wanting? Just obey me. Just hear me. Trust me. And know that everything I asked you to do, I've got a promise to go with it. And I'm not asking you to do anything of yourself. I'm asking you to just yield yourself that I, through my son, can accomplish it through you. And God says, I'll get the glory, but you'll get the privilege. And I'll get the praise, but you'll get to serve. And I'll get all the accolation, but you will experience all my affection. Just obey. just obey. Isn't God good? Father, I love you, I praise you, and I thank you. Father, you are so, so amazing. And Father, I thank you for the life lessons we can learn through these Old Testament passages. Father, lessons of faith, lessons of training and testing of our faith, lessons of sending and going, and lessons of receiving and obeying. And yes, Father, you've even allowed us the privilege to see with even within these men that we study their failures, their moments of unbelief, their moments of sin. And Father, you even let us see that we can learn by it, and that we can know that, Father, even, in those moments that we step out in the realm of our flesh, in those moments, you have a word, you have a promise, you have a provision, you have grace, you have mercy, you have love. And Father, you'll never, ever leave us, nor ever forsake. My, what a mighty Father you are. To you be the glory for what we do with these truths. In Jesus' name.